It's the Pop-matic Podcast for August 31st, 2016. It's the last day of the month, which means it's Bone Thugs and Harmony opposite day. Does anyone have a good, what's the opposite of Bone Thugs and Harmony? Because I have one, but I don't know if mine is that good.
Like the 90s R&B singing group?
Yeah.
Bone Thugs? I can only sing you the song.
So I got Skin, Law, Biters, Out, Dissonance. Anyway, it's Labor Day. Let's celebrate.
A jumble of words to me.
I know. Word salad.
Word salad. Nice.
It's not,
featuring
see you at the crossroads, so you won't be lonely.
Yeah. Wake up.
Wake every day, every day. I'm going to miss everybody.
Rockin' the road.
Also, we're talking about Labor Day today. Coming to you from a disciplinary hearing in the HR office, it's the Pop-matic Podcast, where you can rock out with your library card out. I'm joining you today. My name is Jeremy. Also joining you today with me are...
Mac.
Clem Marie.
Sarah.
Lena.
Bale.
All right. So Labor Day weekend is upon us. You can probably tell that from the very clear intro we just did. It's that time of year when we give thanks for the 40-hour work week by cutting it down to 32 hours, unless you work at a hospital or a police or fire department or in retail or some other essential service like a car dealership. This week we're going to talk about jobs, working, and getting stuff done. Cue the RuPaul!
Work! Turn to the left! Work! Turn to the right! Work!
Yes. Thank you! The pod gods have smiled upon me.
Very laborious.
That was beautiful.
That was great.
Lip sync for your life.
Fuck! So Sarah, tell us a little bit about working. Jobs, etc.
Well, I'd prefer not to, but okay. I chose to talk about horrible bosses. Pretty sure I've talked about horrible bosses before in a podcast as something that was tickling my fancy, but I can't help it if I'm bringing it up
again. Are you cheating on us with other podcasts?
I think I am. I can't help it. I had to cheat a little bit.
Oh, no.
In my opinion, these movies are not only my favorites when it comes to mocking the workplace, but they might be my favorite movies of all time.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. Wow.
That's it, okay? You know what? That's crossing the line. So I'm done, Julia. Off this, dude. I'm out. I don't need this job. So goodbye. I'm quitting. I'm done.
The trio of Jason Bateman, Charlie Day, and Jason Sudeikis is comedic gold in these movies, with each bringing their own form of humor to the table. If you haven't seen either the first or second movie, the storylines are somewhat similar. The first movie is about three friends that are each stuck in careers that wouldn't be so bad if it weren't for their atrocious in their own right bosses.
That sounds really familiar.
Can't really relate.
Wow,
but,
that's almost very universal for him. And that's been
Right, okay.
If only I had two comedian friends to help me out.
Well, the obvious answer for them would be to just find new jobs, but that's not so simple for these guys, unfortunately. Especially in Charlie Day's case, and I'm not explaining that one. You'll just have to watch to find out what he did. But instead, they hatch a plan to take out their bosses with a little help from Jamie Foxx, who they believe to be a hardened criminal, but in reality isn't any more harmful than my cat. He only actually went to prison for pirating videos, but they don't know that.
Your cat went to prison for pirating?
Yes, actually. Yeah. Yes.
Pirating cat videos.
Fluffy Prisoner 1-2.
Well.
676.
Like that movie Keanu. Anyway.
Oh, good.
You mix all this nonsense up with witty humor and the perfect scene setups, you have yourself laughing for a couple of hours. I still can't keep a straight face when I hear someone talk about the movie Throw Mama from the Train. You know that famous Danny DeVito, Alfred Hitchcock movie? You'll have to watch to find out what I mean. But in the second movie, the guys start their own business and unfortunately find themselves in a little financial trouble. In order to get out of it, they ask for help again from Jamie Foxx and their new partner in crime, Chris Pine.
Every week, we like to highlight local inventors and entrepreneurs. What is it that inspired three regular Joes to go into business for yourselves?
Well, we were all working at pretty terrible jobs for some awful bosses, and we just thought if we ever got a chance to be our own bosses, that we'd do things differently.
Yeah, we came up with the Shower Buddy.
I'm sorry, that name's not official yet. I wanted the Shower Daddy.
Shower Daddy is worse on pretty much every level, so.
Yeah. Why would your buddy be in the shower with you?
Why would your dad?
There they are. They're my shower buddies.
I'll place an initial order of
100,000 units.
100,000 shower buddies.
We have finished order in full, and it is ready to be shipped.
I'm afraid I'm going to have to cancel that order.
Say cancel?
We have our own new product, the Shower Pal.
It's a better name,
too. It is a better name.
What were we thinking? Who bets on themselves?
We need to find $500,000 to get us our company back.
I got it. Boom. Marker drop.
Kidnapping.
That's kidnapping.
With one more P it is. That's kidnapping.
Boy.
Is that a Sharpie?
I could give you a plan. 50,000.
Come on.
600.
It's so weird how you negotiate.
Sneak into his crib, knock him out, and keep that bitch sedated until daddy pays up.
Name me one movie where the kidnappers weren't incarcerated.
9 to 5.
9 to 5.
9 to 5 is this movie.
I know what 9 to 5 is. It's about the white woman with the big ass titties.
That's the one.
Come with me now. Come with me.
What's happening?
I want to partner up on this thing.
The kidnapping is off.
No, it's on.
No, it's off.
Okay. I think I'll call the police.
This little one assaulted me.
What?
He's Fight Clubbing himself. We got a Fight Clubber.
Your options are
legal options.
Jack.
Yes. Jack Leibowitz. Is that an attorney?
Gotta be.
I'm gonna write that down.
We can just contact him.
Do you have his contact info?
Texting my lady. I don't check in. She goes crazy.
I didn't know you were seeing someone.
Yeah.
That's great.
Our sex addiction that we cannot change.
A sex addiction?
Found this gentleman out in your hall.
Would you like to share with us?
Just been getting together with the guys. Chugging one after the other. Oh, God, God.
He thinks he's in an AA meeting.
So your sexual addiction, it's homosexual in nature.
My sex addiction? My sex addiction is, and then what did you say?
Go with me now.
The reviews weren't as good for this one, but I laughed the entire time when I went to see it at the theater, so it worked for me. So I'm sure you want to know which movie is better. You'd obviously think the first because it's the original, but I'm not so sure. My theory with sequels is that they can be really good if they're done right, or if they're done recently after the first one. In my opinion, I don't know. Neither is better. But if you want to see either of them, check them out. We've got them.
I haven't seen either. It's really a horrible loss.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's just a shame.
Wow.
It's really a shame.
It's like sometimes you take my role. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to just...
Hey, you know, when you're not here, I have to do, like, extra.
That's
like,
true.
No one laughs when he's not
here. No one likes it. No one laughs. Long-time listeners.
All right. If a pun is made in the forest and there's no one there to hear, does it actually pun?
Yeah,
your turn. Yes. Hi. So today I am talking, since we're talking on the subject of labor and working and trying to find a different job and being unable to. This goes right into perfectly into Nickel and Dime on not Getting By in America by Barbara Ehrenreich. Now, this book, since its publication in 2001, has become a mainstay in a lot of college reading courses. It was read, a lot of my colleagues in divinity school read it. But basically, it explores the low wage labor industry, particularly following the passage of welfare reform in 1996. In the book, writer Barbara Ehrenreich decides to go undercover as a low wage worker, in three industries in three different locations in the United States to see, is it possible to try to make a life, make a living, pay rent, pay food, pay for the necessities of life, working on $6 or $7 an hour? She finds that it is very, very difficult. The book is divided up into three chapters, serving in Florida, where she's a waitress in her hometown of Key West, scrubbing in Maine. She goes to, I believe it's Portland, to work at in a home cleaning service. And finally, selling in Minnesota, she goes to work at Walmart. Through that, she sets up the experiment and tries to find a place to live, how to get around and how to get food. Each and every time, however, she sees that it is difficult. She sees the struggles that her coworkers are undergoing. She finds that one of the assertions is that low wage work, of course, we're not going to pay it much because it doesn't require a lot of skills. It's low skill, low wage. But she actually finds that, yes, this work can be repetitive, but it also requires a lot of specialized skills and quick thinking. If you're a waitress, you have to make decisions very quickly and sort of, you know, how to deal with the public, but how to work with the situation. The book, I think, accurately describes, yes, what it's like to work in a low wage environment where in many respects you're not respected, but this is the kind of labor that runs the engine of economy. And it's funny that I read this this year, because this year, particularly now, is the anniversary of 20 years of the passage of the welfare reform bill. And there's been some articles on it. There was one on NPR and one on The Atlantic discussing whether or not did welfare reform work. Well, it got people off the welfare rolls, but did it ameliorate poverty? The answer to that question is a lot more mixed. So if you want to read a book on labor, a book that sort of describes one person's experience of working in those industries, check out Nickel and Dime on Not Getting By in America by Barbara Ehrenreich.
Long time listeners know.
Did anybody throw the mic?
Nope.
No.
And now here's Mike.
Oh, that would be me. I'm Mike. Long-time listeners know that one of my favorite times of the year is Oscar season. Sure, some movies are pure Oscar bait, grimly calculated to win awards, but sometimes I stumble across something that I would normally never check out, like Zero Dark Thirty or Whiplash. I was hoping for something similar with books, but so far I've had little success. The tournament of books was kind of fun, but like for every great book, there's three meh books. Meh. So I was hoping to go the Hugo route this year, but the sad puppies hijacked it for the second year in a row, and Garbage Human Vox Day doesn't deserve attention from anybody.
Oh, man. No.
Well played.
Yeah. So long story, slightly longer. I read a bunch of Philip K. Dick Award nominees. Those given to the best genre book first published in paperback. You know, that's like its only like criterion. It's like, you know, it doesn't have anything to do other than Philip K. Dick's books were published in paperback first. Mm-hmm. So anyway. So today I thought I'd like to talk about Windswept by Adam Mirkounis, which alas was nominated but didn't win. Padma Mehta is a union recruiter on a planet called Santee Landing, whose primary export is sugarcane, which is used to power spaceships. It's cool. The known galaxy is divided up between the big three mega corporations, and her planet is one of the few that is actually mostly made up of union members, the people who worked for the mega corporations but have left their indenture for a chance at a free life. Padma lives in the capital city, where she takes these new recruits in and gives them new jobs, usually crappy jobs like in the sewers and, you know, cleaning out sugarcane and factories and stuff. But eventually they can work their way up the ranks. She needs to recruit just a few more people so that she could finally buy a rum distillery, because it's this big plot point I'm not going into. A sleazy informant tells her that a ship will be bringing over 500 people who want to defect to the union, which is way more than she needs. Oh boy. She is hesitant at first because it sounds way too good to be true, but she takes the job anyway. Uh-oh. Like all good noirs, things go awry. I really like this book and its sequel, Like a Boss.
Like a boss.
Padma is an interesting character. Like, for example, I like that she makes friends with dudes, but her adventures don't magically make her capable of loving again. Unlike most action things where it's like, you know, oh, I swear off, you know, oh, but, you know, your lips are so pretty.
Thank you.
No problem, bro. I like the universe building. For example, every employee of the megacorps has a tattoo on their cheek showing what their job is. I think that's really neat. So, like, one guy has, like, a like ship's wheel on his cheek, signifying that he was a captain on a ship. Yeah, but when they join the union, that tattoo is painted over with a badass closed fist. Yeah, that's right. For the power of the union. This is probably a spoiler, but I like that in both books, the bad guys aren't the evil mega corporations. You know, they're portrayed as exploitative and gleefully experiment on their employees and are really not cool. But I like that the obvious villains aren't obvious. Yeah. Surely it's the, you know, whatever. Good times.
What do you have, Jeremy?
Actually, I did read one of the books that did win one of the Hugo Awards, the one for novella, Binti, by Nnedi Okorafor, and it is really good.
Ooh,
it's
cool.
Available via ebook. It is really good.
Ooh.
Yes. Ooh. Jeremy?
Jeremy, yes, Jeremy.
So Studs Terkel was a writer, historian, and radio host. He hosted the Studs Terkel program from 1952 to 1997 on Chicago radio. Also, has a pretty cool name.
I heard he's quite a stud.
It's true. your mother is not a liar. Oh!
Wow.
Sorry. Your
sick
mother's...
burn.
We don't do your mama broke. Jokes up in here.
Wow.
Sorry.
We should.
There's
a reason.
Wow. Your mama wasn't this mean last night.
Oh! Beautiful. Studs Terkel also was an actor. He was in John Sayles' 1988 film, Eight Men Out, about Terkel's beloved Chicago White Sox and them throwing the 1919 World Series. And he also was the author or compiler of some oral histories, including The Good War, which was about World War II, Hard Times about the Great Depression, and the book I'm going to talk about today, 1974's Working. People talk about what they do all day and how they feel about what they do. The subtitle is longer than the book. Mm-hmm. So to get a sense of the book, let me give you a longish quote, because it sums up the book. This book, being about work, is by its very nature about violence, to the spirit as well as to the body. It is about ulcers as well as accidents, about shouting matches as well as fistfights, about nervous breakdowns as well as kicking the dog around. It is, above all or beneath it all, about daily humiliations. To survive the day is triumph enough for the walking wounded among the great many of us. So that is a pretty bleak view of working life.
Goes along with what I, well, yeah, but what I presented.
Yeah. But I do think...
Your real life job's all depressing.
Yeah. But I think it's one that everyone, no matter how much you love your job, I think everybody kind of shares that from some time to time. You wake up in the morning, you get in a fight, you got a crying baby, you got a stomach ache, you got
a mean cat scratching my face.
You got a mean cat scratching your face, your face tattoo reminds you
of what you're going to do.
Yeah, all that stuff. So you can love your job all you want, but still, you still think like, man, I'd rather do something else today. So everybody shares that from time to time. And in this book, we hear from people from all over the working spectrum. There's a farmer, a strip miner, cab driver, garbage collector, factory owner, teacher, housewife, librarian. And there's also even film critic Pauline Kael and actor Rip Torn. So it really does kind of go all over the place. It goes through all the strata of American working life. And reading it is sort of like listening or reading the little bits, sort of like listening to people's lunch conversations, out somewhere, like hearing them complain about their boss or some crazy person that comes into their job. I first encountered this book when I got out of college. I had a gift certificate, I think, to Barnes & Noble, and I was like, I'm going to buy a book. I didn't know what I was going to do with myself, but I was pretty sure I wasn't going to like it because, that had been my experience so far, and I have a bad attitude. I read this bit from the introduction that I just read to you, and immediately was like, yep, getting this book because I work because I have to. I always say that I like working. I don't like having a job. And so that sort of doesn't make a lot of sense, but I got to have money. I also know that I'm really fortunate because the work that I do puts me in close proximity to the things that I love. So, even when that bad attitude comes a calling, I send it packing again. In the spirit of full disclosure, I have never read this book from cover to cover.
The Evil Robot Award for,
Oh, it's nice and shiny. I've dipped into it time and time again, many times over, sometimes reading the same same section.
Passage,
thank you. having a stroke. Every time it is very rewarding, much like a job can be. It was also adapted for some reason as a musical in 1977.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Material in 1977.
I think the opening number was like
a Superman musical.
Maybe. Yeah.
I think it was like in the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, the Spider-Man, the musical.
Spider-Man the musical was real.
Oh, it was.
Yeah, it was.
Yes. I thought that was a
people
joke.
Got injured.
No, the guy broke his leg.
You too.
Yeah. Brian's girl. She designed it.
Yeah, Bono did Twyla Tharp. right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No.
No, it was directed by, what's her name?
Julie Taymor.
Yeah.
And I will crush the Spider-Man.
It's Brian's favorite
That's
director.
A real thing.
Oh, yeah, it was big. It was
huge. Yeah, it was huge, yeah.
Where was I?
Now on Broadway. We have
a book on it, on the making of it.
Probably.
Under a pile of books.
Probably.
Paying attention to the Lord and not Spider Lord.
I only knew it existed because the guy broke his leg. I was like, oh.
As a semi comics nerd, I'll keep up with the news just to be disgusted at how much Julie Taymor is messing with the continuity.
Yeah. Also, I hate you too, so.
Don't Jeremy, say that around that's
Crystal.
So mean.
Lord, don't say that around Crystal.
I won't. Okay.
How could you be so mean to me?
What?
I hate you too.
I hate you too.
Jeez. Wow.
I didn't listen to Mike. Right. What do you got, Bill?
Moving right along.
Yeah, Bill.
Okay. They adapted the for television, the Working American Playhouse, back in the early 80s. And so I saw the musical.
How was it?
I enjoyed it. Yeah? Okay. And we even had it on tape.
We had videotape.
So right. I don't know. It might be on YouTube. Anyway, Labor Day in the United States is a public holiday celebrated on the first Monday in September. It honors the American labor movement and the contributions that workers have made to the strength, prosperity, and well-being of the country. But what if you didn't have a job? What if you were downsized and you wanted to work and you tried? How far will you go? That's the premise of a novel called The Axe, written by the late, great Donald E. Westlake. The protagonist of The Axe is Burke DeVore, who has been unemployed from a processed paper industry for a long time. He's about to lose everything from wife, children, and more likely his home. So he comes up with a plan to eliminate the competition for a highly coveted job. I'm literally talking eliminate. Wow. The novel is written by Donald E. Westlake, who wrote the Dortmunder series and the Parker series. Yeah. The Axe is a standalone novel. However, like all Westlake's works, it's highly inventive with the taste of the macabre. Amanda?
Okay, last but not least. So Labor Day can be sad because it means the end of summer. And growing up, my parents were both school teachers, so for them it meant going back to work as well. So for this podcast, I'm going to give you the top 5 Pop-Matic podcast songs about work. And hopefully this will help you fight off the back-to-work blues and give you something to dance to during your lunch hour or a slow morning. So, okay. So number 5 is Work by Rihanna and Drake.
Whoa.
Whoa.
You tell me I be work, 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 work. You see me do me dirt, 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 dirt. There's something about that work, 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 work. When you walk a line, 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 line. I'm in the cafe, my tie, 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 tie. Dry me, I desert you. No time to have you lurking. You make a like, now you don't like it.
Work. So now if you had said to me, Work by Rihanna and Drake, I'm not sure that I would have thought specifically that it was this song. But as soon as I was heard, I was like, oh yeah, that's that song with the, okay, I got it. So, and I usually like most of what Rihanna does, and I like this one. The library has it on her CD entitled Anti, which she released this year. It's not officially about work. It's kind of work as a metaphor. But they do say work like 1,000 times, so that totally counts. Huh. All right. Number 4, Work Bitch by Britney Spears.
Work, comma, bitch.
You want a hot body, you want a Bugatti, you want a Maserati, you better work, bitch. You want a Lamborghini, sip martinis, look hot in a bikini. You better work, bitch. You wanna live fancy, live in a big mansion, party in France. You better work, bitch. You better work, bitch. You better work, bitch. You better work, bitch. Now get to work, bitch.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So, two tracks in and you haven't mentioned Working Man by Rush.
Wait for it.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Ouch. So I'm this was... No, no, I didn't pick that.
I don't like Rush.
Rush sucks.
Rush is dope.
I don't like Rush.
Okay, wait. Back to Britney.
Sorry.
So this was supposed to be Brit's big comeback song in 2013, but it kind of fell a little flat. However, I still enjoy it. It's very motivating to walk quickly across Nashville every morning when you get to work late because traffic's bad and semi catches fire.
Yep.
Ask me how I know.
Yep.
So... Sarah's in with me. So the library has this track on Freegal, and yes, I do want a hot body, a Bugatti, and a Maserati. Oh, so I guess I better get to work, bitch.
That's how my that's how my workout mix.
It's
I was
a good
gonna
one.
Say, is it work, comma, bitch?
It's like, the title doesn't have a comma.
Oh.
You gotta work,
you could,
bitch.
You could say
the
like,
implied pause.
Yes.
Like, yeah. I'm a work bitch. You gotta work, bitch. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, that's the Jeremy remix.
It's not okay if I say it. It's not okay.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd be so loud about this.
Okay, so number three, Down Under by Men at Work.
She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under? Where women glow and men blunder. Can't you hear the thunder? Take cover. Buying bread from a man in Brussels.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Our women go and men chunder.
Australians work too. You know, Gary from Perth, he's in on that. So this awesome. Song is not about work either, but the band is called Men at Work. And, you know, it's fun to sing along with, but I'm not going to eat a Vegemite sandwich. And it's also nice because the library has most of the Men at Work catalog on Freegal. So if that's not your song, listen to anything else.
They have other songs?
They have like
whole albums. The Beds Are Burning song, which I love that
that's
song.
Midnight Oil.
That's Midnight Oil. They're also from Australia. Dang it.
They're from South Africa.
There'll be notes later. Gary from Perth will be like, you guys are crazy.
Midnight Oil is from Australia.
They have a song called Overkill, which is fairly popular.
Okay, number two.
They did Who Can It Be Now? That was it.
Okay, number two. Okay. Work It, Missy Elliott.
Work it. I put my thing down, flip it and reverse it. It's your primitive, it's wet and yet. It's your primitive, it's wet and yet. If you got a big, let me search it. To find out how hard I gotta work, yeah. It's your primitive, it's wet and yet. It's your primitive, it's wet.
Yeah. So, okay, I was gonna try and see.
Can you play it back, flip it, and reverse that?
Just let me get my words out.
Yes.
So I was going to try to see if our evil robot producer could put my thing down, flip it, and reverse it.
Oh.
But then I decided that it might be hard to talk about a song if all you heard me say is, you're from the wing yet. So, you know, anyway. So stop what you're doing, get your Hoopla app, and check out this song. Then you can put your own thing down, flip it, and reverse it. And now if you don't mind, I got to go get my hair did.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, number one.
Dun, dun, dun.
9 to 5 by Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
I didn't just pick that because we're in Tennessee. I do like the piano intro. I think it's very motivating.
Tumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. In the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping. With folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living. Barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and they never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. 9 to 5.
The
library has this track on a few CD collections, including Billboard Top Hits 1981, if you want to feel old, and a version from her musical 9 to 5, so we have a musical there too. Now, even though we have to work more than just 9 to 5, mm-hmm. this song makes me want to hang, makes me want to have big 80s hair, wear a color block suit with gold buckles, and big shoulder pads in solidarity. Work on, my friend.
I heard I've heard her talk about writing that song, that she had like big old fake nails, you know, mm-hmm. and she did like the rhythm and the, on her fingers and then like started singing. She's a national treasure.
Yes, she is.
She really
my
is.
Favorite Pinky and the Brain quotes, the Brain is going on a talk show with Dolly Parton and he looks over at her, down at her and says,
Pinky's on the, no, the Brain's on the talk show?
Okay. Yeah, and he goes, puberty was extraordinarily kind to you.
What are you
going to
do tonight, Brain?
And I laughed. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's the best joke that has ever been on this podcast. That's amazing, man. Oh, my goodness.
Hey guys!
Hey,
you Jeremy.
What are we gonna do tonight on Tickle My Fancy?
Same thing we do every night.
Maybe the library has it. Maybe the library doesn't. But either way, it's tickling our fancy.
Tickling My Fancy is a movie called Hell or High Water, starring Jeff Bridges, Ben Foster, and Chris Pine. The plot is a divorced dad and his ex-con brother resort to desperate scheme in order to save their family farm. Jeff Bridges plays the Texas Ranger in pursuit.
You know, the bank loan, just enough to keep your mama poor. Thought they could swipe her land.
It's a big bank. It's too big.
That's what she said.
Now they can foreclose on Friday. So come hell or high water, get the money to the bank on Thursday. And then you are free and clear.
Little brother, go get that money.
Good morning, folks. Open the drawers.
You got a gun on you, old man?
You're damn right I got a gun on me. Y'all gonna steal my gun, too?
We ain't stealing from you, we're stealing from the bank.
You hear about these bank robberies? You may get to have some fun before they send you off to the rocking chair yet.
I may have one hunt left in me.
Mama, that been a while.
3 months.
Bank breathing down her neck.
Everybody get on the ground!
Y'all been here for a while?
Long enough to watch a bank getting robbed's been robbing me for 30 years.
How you managed to stay out of prison for a year?
It's been difficult.
Tell her stand up!
These boys know exactly what they're doing. They're trying to raise a certain amount, that's my guess.
Let's go! Drive!
Toby,
it's a good thing you're done.
More down it.
Every step of the way.
You want a little advice? Go see your boys and mom.
You know, you talk like we ain't gonna get away with this.
I've never met nobody got away with anything, ever.
And why in the hell did you agree to do it?
Because you asked, little brother.
Mama, take this badge off of me.
All right, think I got these boys figured.
He's got no record. He's never been arrested. He don't fit the bill, Marcus.
You may be hearing a lot of things about me and your uncle.
It's getting dark, too dark to see.
Whatever I hear, I won't believe.
No, you believe it. I did all of it.
Love you, Toby.
Mean it. Love you, too.
You want to get us killed? Huh?
One of the best movies I've seen all year. Right now, it's only playing a couple of theaters, but I've heard it's going to be opening wide. So I highly recommend Hell or High Water, starring Jeff Bridges. Good stuff.
I heard it was good. Okay, so for this week's Fancy Tickle, I am going to stay with the theme of work. Now, I am lucky. I really enjoy my job. I'm willing to fight traffic every day and walk across Nashville in the super hot sun.
Just to get to my job. To pass semis on fire. Sometimes other folks aren't quite that lucky, and that is where Kim Baker, played by the delightfully witty Tina Fey, found herself one day. Baker was stuck writing banal news copy for a bunch of talking heads behind a desk in New York City. She was kind of seeing a guy, but was almost 40, had no family, and just was kind of in a middling job. So when her news director asked all the single people without families in their office to volunteer to cover Afghanistan from Kabul, Baker decided this was her good opportunity. So in Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, we follow Tina Fey as Baker as she travels halfway around the world to live and report on one of the most backward societies in existence.
Are you okay, man?
I gotta pee.
We're still 5 mics. Media asset must be dumping out.
No, I'm just getting my pants on.
The network needs reporters on the ground in Afghanistan.
And you folks are all the unmarried, childless personnel in this bureau. Kim, are you going to be joining in?
The travel or the crime?
How many people do you need?
She says, welcome to Afghanistan.
Listen to me now.
This is where the foreign reporters live. And if you want me...
Welcome to the fun house.
Oh my God, it's so nice to have another woman in the house.
In Afghanistan, you're a serious piece of ass. In New York, you're like 6'7". Here, you're 9. Borderline 10.
What are you here, like a 15?
Hello. Yeah.
Huh.
Miss Baker, this is an extreme environment.
Grenade, down, down!
I've seen people with actual experience make bad decisions here.
You should let me interview you.
But I do not know you. How can we get to know each other?
Yes, Kim. Excellent.
It's bananas here. I don't think I can do this.
We are all here for a reason.
So what's your reason?
I just wanted out of my job. I wanted out of my mildly depressive boyfriend.
What are we doing, Kim?
Just wanted to blow everything up.
That's the most American white lady story I've ever heard.
Look, either we go big or we go home.
I need a story. I need to get something on the air.
It's too dangerous.
Don't you think that would be great, that kind of exposure?
Pretty good for you, too.
Keep me back in the car!
These assholes tried to shoot us!
Hoorah, Baker. Guess so.
Last night, what happened?
The usual, Kabul happens.
Today, Kabul's first licensed female driver, Gulbahar Yousefi, hits the road in the first.
That sucks. That sucks for women.
So it's been well documented on this podcast. I'm a fan of Tina Fey. Brian even asked me about this movie at one point, so I figured I should report back now that I've actually seen it.
Long-time listeners can go back to whatever episode.
I don't even remember what episode it was. But so this movie was a little bit more serious than what I'm used to her doing, but it was still enjoyable. So in researching the film, I found out that it was actually based on a book which was written by the real Kim Barker.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Where they changed the name.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Called The Taliban Shuffle, Strange Days in Afghanistan and Pakistan. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but the library does have it. So also before I go, I just want to talk about the title for a second. So sometimes I am right on top of things, and other times I miss what is completely obvious to everybody else.
Oh,
this is one of those latter times.
Yeah.
So I couldn't for the life of me figure out why they called the movie Whiskey Tango Fox. I'm like, what in the world does that mean?
Oh dear.
So then somehow it clicked that in the military they never say letter names; they use words. And so Whiskey Tango Foxtrot equals WTF, and I'm not going to explain what that is. You get the idea. So I enjoyed it. It was good. You should watch it.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah.
Well, on top of Labor Day starting or coming soon, whatever it is. Live on the Green, the fun Lightning 100 festival started up a couple weeks ago, and I have been pretty bad. I've missed the first 2 weeks.
Oh, you're fired.
I know. I know. But the reason why I didn't go is because the festival has grown so much this year that, I didn't.
It's crazy.
I've seen pictures. No, it's been really crowded.
Yeah, no one's really drawn me. But one concert I am jumping up and down ready for is the headliner this year, Ben Harper and the Innocent Criminals. Like Ben Folds in that the suffix to his name has changed several times over the years, the man still has a remarkable voice that's both calming and upbeat. Funny story to go along with him as well, I told a coworker about him and they checked him out. The next day, their review was that he sounded like a grittier Justin Timberlake.
Grittier Justin Timberlake.
No offense to Mr. Timberlake.
Were you the Dakota?
No, I'm sorry.
But that's inaccurate. That's an inaccurate comparison. Some of his stuff might have a little pop inspiration, but not really. Oh. Harper's sound is a healthy, nostalgic mix of blues, soul, folk, rock, and reggae, and some with a gospel inspiration, both in sound and lyrics. So it's honestly difficult to compare him to anyone. Believe me, especially
Justin Timberlake.
I know.
I mean, I don't know a lot of his stuff, but I wouldn't go there.
Yeah, when she said that, I thought, that's. I don't think you listen to him at all.
Yeah, you don't listen to much music, do you?
No.
You've never even listened to Justin Timberlake. Have you?
Just another male out there to compare him to, I guess. Yeah.
That's right. What's a guy singer?
Yeah, that works.
JT, got it. Yeah, then.
But anyway, find out for yourself to figure out who you think he's sounds like. Best songs I can tell you to listen to are Fight Out of You, Bring the Funk, and Waiting for You. You can kill a lot of time if you really wanna put your mind to it.
Yes, so today I am, what's tickling my fancy, it's a children's book. As y'all know, I work with children's books often, so I just found this week and I really like it. This book is called The Summer Nick Taught His Cats to Read by Curtis Manley and Kate Berube. I think
sounds possum.
Possum? Okay, so anyhow,
it's perfect to me. But
okay, So this is a book about a little boy named Kit, Nick, excuse me, who has two cats, Vern and Stevenson, and that's pretty awesome. And he decides to teach Vern and Stevenson how to read. One cat takes very well to reading. The other one is a little more recalcitrant. Oh. But I really like this. I know.
Jesus.
Intransigent.
I squeaked by with a whisker on that one.
Oh, so I really like this book because it also goes perfectly what we do at Bringing Books to Life about literacy outreach, sort of about how to get, you know, different children require different strategies to maybe get them hooked into reading. You know, maybe they need a different subject. So children maybe need, you know, a different subject to really, you know, maybe they need to read comic books to get them really interested in reading.
Yes, they do.
So this was charming. This was fun. It's a great read aloud, but I think it also shows just so the different ways that one can get a child interested in reading. So The Summer Nick Taught His Cats to Read.
That's excellent.
Sounds like a charming tale.
Yes, it is a charming
tale. Matt, Mike, you're going to have to, I'm going to have to charge you a fee for lines like that.
I know. Maybe we should put like a jar. You know, people have a swear jar. Yes. We should put a pun jar.
Pun jar? Oh, no.
I could quit my job.
I could say.
With just my share.
My current girlfriend is enabling me. Every time I do a pun, she thinks it's super witty, and it's kind of amazing. So, you know, the floodgates have like fallen down, and now I don't care about quality or taste.
Divorce summer is just going to be pun filled. 5 years down the road.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we should have a pun jar, then at a certain point in time, like, use that to like fund like a breakfast or something, or like a lunch for all.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Thanks to all the great puns.
Quit the podcast. Man, I can't make bad puns. I had to dish like 10 cat puns. Anyway, Mike's book club continues. I read a book this week that easily slipped into my top 5 of the year, and you may hear about it again, perhaps. I don't know. This was a poorly written sentence. This book was called...
You're so honest.
Yeah.
You probably wrote that down, too.
Actually, I didn't, but, you know, just looking at it.
Long-time listeners will remember.
Long-time listeners, yeah. It's great.
My comments on his... middle of his writing.
Booming like a boomerang. This book is called The Hike by Drew McGarry. It's about Ben, a mid-level accountant on a business trip to rural Pennsylvania.
Hey.
Evil robot shout out.
Stop by the
He was created
Brian
in
House.
Pennsylvania. He runs on coal and hate.
It's funny because it's true.
Bored at the bed and breakfast that he's staying in, Ben decides to take a hike and see the local scenery. But along the way, he becomes very, very lost. The book eventually kind of becomes like the Odyssey, as he becomes increasingly more lost, so lost that he randomly appears on an entirely new planet with two moons. He gets magic seeds, becomes enslaved by an evil wizard, gets hounded by dogmen, and almost gets eaten by a weirdly friendly giantess. He meets hilarious talking crab who says a lot of stuff I can't talk about on a family-friendly podcast.
Under the sea. Under the sea. No one gets my Little Mermaid reference. Or maybe he's ignoring it.
I was going to be make a crabby pun about it.
The crab says, you've got me.
Kiss the girl.
It's not Clawsome.
Get the shell out of here.
Yeah, anyway, the ending, after everything is explained, is super mind-blowing and awesome. I loved it. The book is both weird and kind of familiar. I'm depressed that this is marketed as fiction. I think 20 years ago it could easily have been in the fantasy section, but that's a rant about book marketing that we can have another time.
Next week?
I thought you were going to say, I'm really upset that it's marketed as fiction because I really wish this was real.
It's totally real. I want to get lost in the path and get eaten by dogmen. Sounds pretty cool.
I want to end up on a planet with two moons.
It sounds, lunatic-tastic. I want to have Drew McGarry sex babies. Yesterday I had McGarry's babies stuck in my head. What? As Muppet babies.
McGarry babies.
That really got weird right there.
Hold up, let's play back, flip it, and reverse it. Like I'm making the timeout symbol here. I have no problem if you were romantically interested in this author.
Oh, yeah.
Did you say you wanted to have his sex babies?
Yes.
What?
Do you know how babies are made normally?
Nope. Okay. Involves pelicans and or storks. What do you got, Jerry?
That movie's coming out soon.
What do you have, Jeremy?
Well, Mike, since you asked, I have a pair of items today, but they're both the same.
Are they comic books?
They're not. It's a film and the adaptation, the source material of that film. It's The Friends of Eddie Coyle by George V. Higgins. The film was directed by Peter Yates. So I've been wanting to read this book for a while, and I did, and I was on a mission in the stacks to get a different book. I was walking, and I stopped, looked down, and there was the book, and I said, I'm going to read this book next. I was at a loss for what to read next, and I saw that book, and it was like this serendipitous moment. Cosmic forces were aligned. Something stopped me there in the stacks, and it made me read this book, and I was glad that I did. This book, Higgins' razor-sharp dialogue sort of does the heavy lifting for the story. It's mostly all talking from people. And so sometimes you're not sure maybe what they're talking about. He's like, oh, yeah, you're gonna talk to Uncle? Like, who's Uncle?
Like, like Quentin Tarantino films. There's a lot of, like, criminals talking about sometimes about, like, the plot and things, and other times about, like, just how their day's going.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
that kind of thing.
Like, this one time I knew this guy on a job. And
those two, like, random...
It's easy to... for me, anyway, it was easy. I got confused, but then I was like, no, wait. He's saying uncle. He's talking about his uncle. He's not talking about his uncle. He's talking about Uncle Sam. He's talking about the feds. So, anyway...
Cockney Remy slang.
It's really great. Yeah, exactly. It's really great. The film is also equally as great. It's maybe one of the best adaptations of a book I've ever seen, possibly. And I read the book, and then immediately, like the day I finished the book, I started watching the movie. It's really good. Robert Mitchum stars as the title character. He's running guns for the mob, and he's also trying to get out of a prison sentence. And then there's like all these guys are sort of there's cops and then like finks, and like they're all kind of all these people are playing against each other. Peter Boyle stars as a bartender and an informant, and then also Alex Rocco is Robin Banks with these masks. And they do this thing where they go to the house of the bank manager, and then they say, one of us is going to stay here with you with a gun on your wife and kids. We're going to take you to the bank, and then you're going to get us in the bank and give us the money. And then we're going to come back to your house, and then we're going to leave. And if you don't, we're going to kill your wife and kids. It's a pretty good way to rob a bank, guys. Mm-hmm. Check it out. And really, both the movie and the book are really great. And
makes me want to coil up on the couch and watch it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You know what else coils?
I ain't got none.
Me neither.
I didn't hear a single error on the entire previous program.
I made mistakes, but I didn't write them down, so we'll pretend they didn't happen.
Ooh.
Erase.
Oh, I didn't say that Sarah is a permanent member of the podcast now.
Yeah. Welcome to the squad. Full time.
You can be the secret square.
Secret square.
Oh, bring them
back.
Oh, Mike has something.
Nice. I'll take it.
My wife really had never heard of Match Game.
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to watch the English version, Blankety Blank, soon. I'm really excited. That's what it's actually called.
For more information on how the English name things weird, you can go to
www.library.nashville.org.truckylorry.boatymcmoatface.
Yeah, there's a teen boat. The teen has a boat. Have you seen that comic book? We have it in our library. Also,
I remember the cartoon about the kid who becomes a car.
Oh, yeah. That,
yeah, it was cool.
Yeah. Okay. Also, the star of that show also did our theme music. His name is
Adam Dean.
The show was edited by an evil robot.
You can subscribe to the Popmatic Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and in the RSS feed. Next week.
Game of Thrones.
We decided this.
Fantasy stuff.
Fantasy.
Winter's coming.
There will be dragons upon the horizon.
Yeah, get your chainmail and your...
Will the walkers ever go over that wall?
Yeah.
I think they do.
Yes, and your magical people of stature and of ability.
Get your chainmail and your body odor ready.
First thing I do is
talk to corporate, approve memos, lead a workshop, remember birthdays, direct workflow, my own bathroom, micromanage, promote synergy, hit on Deborah, get rejected, swallow sadness, send some faxes, call a sex line, cry deeply, demand a refund, eat a bagel, harassment lawsuit, no promotion.